We are in Philippians 1:9 today. We're continuing our study in Philippians.
And isn't it great that you can come into the presence of the Lord?
Being encouraged with what Paul's sharing with the Philippian church. And some thoughts that came to mind concerning this passage here. Do you ever get discouraged in handling relationships?
Stand if you're able.
That sometimes they're cruising along, everything's really good, and then they kind of derail, and some not so pleasant things happen. Maybe we say some things that we don't mean to say, that we wish we could retract, or it even might even become a physical altercation. That you wish that
your love is amazing, steady and unchanging.
Or sometimes your love we might just become hardened to relationships and we close off and we just pull back.
It's a mystery how you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me
in the right way.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah.
He has something better.
Hallelujah.
And,
hallelujah.
That encourages how
your love makes me sing. Your love is surprising.
So
I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me.
I'm praying. This
every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God's song rising up in me.
The passage that we're going to be looking at.
Hallelujah. 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 Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Love is not a
your love makes me sing.
And God's love helps us understand how we can live.
Yes, you make me sing.
And all those are very, very important and very, very
Lord, you make me sing.
The first point that we can always continue to grow in our love relationship.
How you make me sing.
We talked about a couple weeks ago that Paul was confident.
Hallelujah.
That God was going to complete the work.
Hallelujah.
We looked at the Abrahamic.
Hallelujah. Lord, you make me sing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And
hallelujah.
To participate by accepting what God was going to do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He knows our frailty.
Hallelujah.
That same weakness and frailty that he knows
your love makes me sing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, God make is going to start, he's going to complete. But we're also going to see in this verse also that there's a part of respondability and responsibility in this relationship with what God is going to do in our lives. Because he isn't responsible for everything that takes place and how we change. He is moving in and changing us. But there is an aspect and responsibility for us to want him to be part of that and that surrender to it. So Paul is praying to the church, and I'm praying for you guys. When he's writing this, he's praying it in the present tense, where he's saying, I'm praying this for you. I want you to know that this is very concerning for me. We pray about the things that are very, very dear to our hearts and that we need help with. So he's praying for the church in this way, that he doesn't want them to waver in their faithfulness or their willingness to let God move in their lives. And so he's encouraging them to grow in that relationship with the Lord that he has, which for us and for the church there shows us that salvation isn't a momentary thing. It wasn't a time where back in the day that I came to know Jesus. For me, it was when I was around 5 years old that I came to know him. So yes, I understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that I'm going to live with him for eternity. And then I just stopped right there. But Paul is letting the church know it isn't just you accepted Jesus into your heart and that was it and it's done deal. It's now you're growing in this relationship with God. From that point forward, there is a expectation, an understanding that there's a relationship that has been formed that is going to continue to grow. So it's this ongoing journey of deepening our relationship with God and knowing him more and more every single moment of our lives. And Paul is praying for the church because he knows that there's an enemy that's out there. And he wants to come in and he wants to divert our attention. And in preparing for this message here for me this week, the enemy comes in and he tries to divert the attention. And he comes in different subtle ways and tries to destroy us. Because we know in 1 Peter 5, it says, "Be sober in spirit and be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour somebody." So I know that there's an enemy out there that wants to stop me in my relationship with God. He doesn't want me to continue to grow in this beautiful, intimate relationship that the Creator wants for me. So he's going to do whatever he can. And it's going to be different for each one of us. A weakness for somebody else is going to be different than a weakness for me. But he's going to come and he's going to try every single opportunity until we bite it and say, "Oh, let me try that. Or let me go in that, let me think upon that a little bit longer. And let's move in that direction." And then once the enemy starts to woo us towards him, we see that there's this break in our relationship with the Lord where I'm not communing with him at that point. And I'm not walking with him. So my flesh is going to rise up. And I'm going to do things. I'm going to think things. I'm going to act in ways that is not pleasing to the Lord. So Paul is going to encourage the believers to stay in that relationship. I'm praying that you do. I'm praying for you. So it's encouraging for us that that a few verses prior to, Paul was encouraging the believers that I have affection for you in my heart. Well, this is a part of his affection for them in his heart. The natural process of our affection for each other is going to be we're going to pray for each other. Not surfacey prayers, but deep prayers. Wanting to get to know each other in an intimate way, what do you struggle with? Not to put each other down, but to lift each other up. To know that I'm here walking this battle with you every single moment. There are times that Michelle and I, we counsel with those who struggle with certain addictions, and it's very easy for people to label and put and push away and say, "Yeah, that's what you struggle with? Okay, great, yeah, get over it." But some struggles that we go through are just difficult, aren't they? And we need somebody to walk through with us to say, "I love you, I'm here with you, and I'm going to pray with you, and I'm not going to let you go on your own, but I'm going to walk through this struggle with you." And that's what Paul is sharing here. He might be at a distant place, but he's saying, "I am praying for you so that you know that I know there's an enemy out there who wants to destroy you, but I'm here lovingly trying to protect you because I have a God who's powerful." We have a box down here that is a box for the lost. If you have somebody that you want to know Jesus, we have prayer warriors that pray specifically for those people in there because we have a powerful God who is intimate and desirous for every one of our concerns and the people that he wants, that we desire to know Jesus so we can be with them for eternity. He wants them even more. Please put their name in there. And if you come to know that they come to know Jesus in the meantime, put that in there. They came to know the Lord so that we can celebrate. But that's the same idea. I might not ever meet somebody who's in that box, but I know that God is intimate and powerful, and if I ask him for help, he's going to be there for that person, and he's going to press in, and he's going to move in, and he will bring somebody there to help that person in my place because I don't know them. That's faith. Faith that God is going to answer, that he's real. Paul is coming to the church and saying, "God is real. These aren't just words that I'm sharing. I'm going to pray for you because my God is intimate and cares. And he will walk with you. And he will protect you. And he will show you more of himself." So the enemy does. He tries to come in. He creates doubt, confusion, and fear, which will end up hardening our hearts. And he will encourage our hearts to change from a desire of seeking God to seeking anything else but him. So as we listen and hear those words from Paul today, what is it that could potentially be trying to take our attention away from God? That's the challenge for us. Because this roaring lion wants to devour me. So if I think that I am going to get a little break I'm tricking myself. I need to be alert, guarding my mind from the things that I see, from the things that I listen to, from the things that people say. So I'm going to need to know what is pleasing to God. And I'm going to need God's help with that. But I need to be alert because he wants to come around and destroy me. Paul's also going to be sharing in here as he's praying, is that love is not a feeling, but it comes with understanding. He's not encouraging that love is experienced by feelings, but he's going to be encouraging us that it's experienced by decision making. Our world so much lives in a mentality and a state that says, if it feels good, you need to do it. If it's comfortable, that's right. Because that's easy. So let's go ahead and do it. And it could be absolutely opposite of what God desires. But the world expresses that it wants to encourage us to express love in a feeling, how I react with emotion instead of thinking through. Because love is not an action that's supposed to be experienced based upon feelings, but it is in it because it's not reactionary. It's proactive and it's assertive in how it moves. It's decision making that produces love, and the feelings are byproducts of it. So the decisions that I make, the things that I think about, how I think and desire love in my own mind, those are the things that are going to start to come out. So if my flesh is living, and I'm not walking with the Lord or surrendering my mind to Him and letting Him speak into me, then things of the flesh are going to start to rise up. And I'm going to be chained to those desires that might not be will not be pleasing to the Lord. We see this in Jesus, that Jesus, he decided based upon feelings if he was going to go to the cross, then we wouldn't be here today sitting here praising him and worshiping him at all. Because for him to go to the cross, to be scourged, to be beaten, for a crown of thorns to be put on his head, for to be pierced, that was not a very pleasant experience. But even more so than that was that he suffered the severed relationship with the pure relationship he had with the Father. Now that was torture. Now, if he based the feelings of will I do this because is it going to give me good feelings about this? He wouldn't have went to the cross. But we see that in Matthew 26 that Jesus says, "My Father, if this cannot pass from me unless I drink it, then your will be done." So he's already thinking, what does love look like? How does love show itself? Because God's love is a selfless love. It doesn't seek to protect itself, but it seeks to protect others. And it chooses to obey the voice of God over everything. So Paul is praying for guarding and protection and sensitivity to the believers for this type of love, a selfless love, a love that's going to seek God's direction, God's a selflessness over everything. And in Matthew 22, they questioned Jesus, what was the greatest commandment? He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And the greatest and the foremost commandment, the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Why is it so important for God to love God and the neighbors? Why is loving God and neighbors so important to him? Because God is loving. From the beginning, he created absolutely everything out of love. Everything was created with love. His thoughts are about love. Everything that he allows or causes is based and stemmed from his love. Because that's who he is. There was a peace in creation. But when sin entered, it started to turn it around. It started to create fear. It started to destroy things. Sin tries to overshadow love in our lives. So one of the questions that we ask ourselves is, Lord, am I letting sin in my own life overshadow you and your love from even being poured out to others in my life? Poured out to you, Lord. Is there sin there? Is there something there that separates, that puts a divide, that hardens my heart to you, Lord? It's an important question for us to ask. And in 1 Corinthians 13, as Paul is talking about, I want this love to continue to grow more and more abundantly, to overflow. The Philippian church would have most likely have gotten a letter from the 1 Corinthian church, because this book, the 1 Corinthians was written, one of the first books of Paul written, and Philippians was way later. So they would have shared different letters. So they would have heard Paul teaching this, but also would have most likely read about 1 Corinthians 13. And it's about, we're going to look at 4 through 8, and it's about love. Because we're going to see that love is a choice, and it's an action. When Paul's reading this, he's not using descriptive words describing what love is. He's actually using words that are action words. In our English text, when we read it, it's a little bit harder to pick it out because it'll say love is patient, and it kind of describes what love is. In the Greek, it's really not that. It goes a little deeper than this. And we're going to point that out and look at it. So every single action word that we look at in verses 4 through 8 is going to be an action word that this is what love is doing. And it's really important for us to understand this. We're going to tie this back in. We're going to explain it a little bit, and we're going to tie this in at the end and see how this looks, what this looks like in our life. So they're all in the present tense also. This is a very key and very important for us to understand. It's in the present tense. So how I'm living right now is what love should look like. Okay? What I'm thinking about right now is what love should look like. Because what I'm thinking about, what my actions are going to produce. So it's right now what I'm thinking about. So as we look through this, what I encourage you to do is, and this is where we're controlling our, Lord, control my mind, captivate what I'm thinking about. Because once I lose the captivation, I can think about a whole bunch of different things. I can think of a lot of selfish things because my flesh is still there trying to rise up. And the Lord is pushing it down. Because I'm going to listen to one Lord or the other. It's either Jesus or myself or Satan. I'm going to listen to one of them. So right now, as we look at this, the present tense, what I'm thinking about. And before we jump into it, he doesn't expect us to do this on our own. Because in Galatians 6, he says, because you are sons and daughters, God has sent forth his spirit of his son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we have this relationship that the spirit actually lives in us. The creator of the world, the universe, lives right in us. But he also in Galatians 6 says, but I say, walk by the spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So when we're looking at 1 Corinthians, that the presently, what I'm presently thinking about and doing, I'm either walking out with the Spirit's help or I'm walking out in my own flesh. So when I think about my relationships and how I interact with people, am I walking in love right now when I'm talking to somebody and thinking about somebody, or am I walking it out in my flesh? It's one of the two. And I encourage us to see how Paul encourages us that we can live it out in the Spirit and pleasing to God right now, today. Because it's important to know that it doesn't matter where you're at in your journey with him and how many times that you have failed, because we have a God who is restoring. He lifts us up. He's a God who has already said, I've done everything for you. Just be a part of what I want to do in your life, just like Abraham wanted to be a part of what I was going to do for his people. So as we submit to the Lord and surrender to him and we allow his spirit to move in our lives, what we're going to read about will be a reality. It won't be just something that we see and that we do. It will be who we are. There's a big difference. Because I can do a lot of loving things that look like love. But when I am love, I'm letting the Holy Spirit move in my life presently. So in 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, and I'm going to read it as it would be in the Greek, at least closely to it. Love patienting. You would read love as patient. But love patienting. It's the act of patience acted out. And I see this challenge for me with my children. When they're asking multiple questions, and I'm thinking about something else, and I'm busy doing something else, and they're asking multiple questions, and I'm like, okay, after the fifth one, I'm saying, okay, Lord, I'm really getting impatient right now. And he's saying, yeah, you're right, because now you're starting to live in your own flesh. So be careful, because if you continue in that road, you're going to probably say something that you're going to think back to in about a half an hour or sooner and think, man, God, I failed as a dad again. I failed as a husband again. I failed as a friend again. And he says, I know. Because you let your flesh live at that present moment. You walked away from walk by the Spirit in Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit. I said, let me walk by Daniel. Let me walk by Daniel and handle this situation the way I feel it needs to be handled. And God is saying, we can try that again. If you want me to, and you want to walk with me in that situation, I will give you another opportunity to walk patiently in that situation again. So love and patience doesn't patience give like grace and mercy just abounding? When you're around somebody who's patient and who is there's a lot of grace that's given there, isn't there? It's like you can mess up and it's okay. It'll be okay. There's a lot of love that's just demonstrated and shown and poured out. What we read about today, this is how God presently loves us. So when I think of how I stumble and I fall and I sin, because he expects it, he knows I'm going to do it because I'm a frail person. God is patienting with me. He's encouraging me. He's calling me to not live that way, to surrender again to him, to allow him to patienting in my life by his Spirit. It gives me a lot of courage. It gives me a lot of freedom, because I know that when I do struggle, I have a God who says, I love you and I'm compassionate and I will encourage you and I will not turn you away. And you can think of different things you might have thought about, might have done in your life that are like, wow, that's just, I can't, that's God. God would, his grace would not cover that. It's too big. All these other ones, you know, if we kind of forget about that one, it'll be okay. But God, no. God's saying, I've covered it, absolutely everything I've covered for you. Because in John 3:16, he says, for he who believes in me is not judged, but he who does not believe has already been judged. We're before Jesus came, we were already condemned. And Jesus came to give us new life. He's not here to condemn us again. He already knows our weakness. He says, I'm going to raise you up and I'm going to give you a new hope. So I'm always going to reach out to you. And will you hold on to me? Will you let me move in your life? Will you let my Spirit move in you so that I can create my character in you? So you can be not a better person than you were in the past, but he says, I've created you brand new. I'm a new creation. Like he did in the beginning, he's created a brand new spirit in me that he's placed himself in and says, I will give you new life and live it abundantly. So that 1 Corinthians, this love is patient, this love is gentling, it's kinding, it's doing the act of kindness and the act of gentleness, always presently being there doing it. I'm going to produce that in your life. I'm going to produce a life that's not jealous, it's not jealousing, It's not bragging and boasting. It's not becoming conceited or proud of something, because it's not demanding or harsh. Love trusts. And it focuses on other people, not ourselves. This is the love that he's going to produce in us. And at the moment that I'm thinking right now, am I walking by the Spirit? Because that's going to be seen, because his character is going to be seen. He also says, it's not acting disgracefully and not seeking for himself or provoking or irritated by some things. It's not keeping account of wrongs, or it also can be translated, or of not thinking evil. So I'm not maybe not account, keep accountable of things of what wrong people do, things do to me that hurt me. I'm going to give grace and mercy like Jesus gave to me. But also, I might, the verse here might say, I'm not thinking about evil things, things that are opposing to God. See how it comes back to the mind again? What I think about, how I see love, is how I'm going to act and live. And this is how God's love is for us. He doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness or wrongdoing, but rejoices together with the truth. And here's the encouraging part as well. And it is keeping in confidence all things, and believing all things, and hoping all things, and enduring all things. Stand firm in all these things. God is enduring and hopeful and continuing. Love will not break down for him. He will always keep pressing. And for us, sometimes it might, man, it gets tiring, God. And I'm tired of loving that person because they're so stinking irritating. Or, you know, their lives are just they don't love you. Why do I got to continue giving out hope to them? Because God says, love. God is love. 1 John 4:8. I am love. This is who I am. And if you don't want that, then you really don't want me either. So it's a really important concept, question, life, style, understanding for us to really grasp. Because we can walk in life and walk this great, looks like love, but really deep down inside really isn't the love of God that's actually being portrayed. Because it's not really hard in this world to show a love that looks like, has kind of characteristics of God's love, and people can look at that and say, man, they're so loving, but in actuality, inside, they're not. Because it's just an image of it, but it's not the true, true love of God that's living forth. Because when God's love truly pours out of us, you can't help but see Jesus. You can't help but say, that is something that is different than the world's love. It's different than the Muslim who loves. It's different than the Buddhist who says peace is great. This is how you give peace. It's different. It's life-changing. We see it in Jesus, because God's love is self-sacrificing to the end. It's never giving up. And in Philippians 1:9, he says that your love may abound or overflow. There's no guarantee that this love is going to overflow in our lives. It goes back to that respondability. I've got to want God to overflow in my life. Because I know there's going to be sacrifices, I know there's going to be some discomfort, but I also know that this is what God wants or he doesn't want. I'm going to share a dream I had last night. I had a dream that something, my occupation changed, and I had to travel to another school. Had to join another school, study something totally different. And I knew that was what I needed to do, but in my dream, I absolutely did not want to go at all. And what God was sharing with me in that dream was, if I called you to go or do something and you refused it, you're not following me then. You've chosen to walk a different way. You've chosen to not let me flow in your life just like I desire to flow in your life and to move and direct you. So this cup is kind of, it's us. And this water is Spirit of God. And Paul is encouraging the church, and he says, hey, you know, this water is the love of God in our lives. And he says, guys, I want this love to abound more and more, or to overflow. Paul knows that there is no fullness of joy in the Spirit. There is the depthness of our relationship with God is halted. It's stopped. It's contained within us until we say, God, I want you to presently live in my life. I want you, Spirit, to pour out of me. And it can be in that time when I'm with my children, and time number five comes, and God says, remember that time you got really impatient there, and you just like said, okay, yeah, whatever, and that's enough, we'll talk about this later, and cut them off, and made them feel isolated, made them feel rejected by something, by doing something like that. And he says, okay, now let's patience right now. Let the love of me flow through you so that they feel the warmth, they feel the acceptance, they understand that you have put yourself off to the side. They might not realize it now, but I do. And isn't that what's most important, that God knows us, that we're walking in the moment with him? They might still ask me 20 more questions. And if I am giving patienting to them and they walk away and don't even appreciate it, I am full of the Spirit of God in my life. And I am communing with God at the moment. That is enough for us. So when people hurt us, say things, reject us, and we can love with his love, that's sacrificing, that's lifting them up, that's hopeful for them to turn, for hopeful for them to understand, hopeful for them to know the freedom they can have in Jesus, that we can continue to give that, then we start to overflow him, that others taste it, they see it, they feel it. And they know there's a difference. This is what God wants to do in our lives. This overflowing that never stops, it just continues to go. I'm the one who stops it. I'm the one who runs out. It's me. If I stop it, that's all on me. Lord, I need your help. I need you. I need you to help continue to pour your love out of me. I need your Spirit to continue to move. I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you and let you do it. So a few questions as we come to a close. How do we grow more in his love? Because isn't that part of why we come to church to find out more about him, to bring others to know more about his love and his character? Well, for us personally as believers, are we asking him to show more of himself to us? Are we making special time to spend time just with him, the one that we need help from? Are we reading from his word to know more about his character, what he desires to produce in my life? Am I doing that? Am I listening to his voice and how he wants me to touch other people? How he wants me to sacrifice? Am I submitting to the Holy Spirit to live through me? Am I asking for his help in daily and in momentary decisions? Because love in 1 Corinthians is about right now, the present. And if I think that I can answer these questions on my own or do things on my own, then I'm in a problem state. And of course, am I wanting or desiring him to be a part of my life? Because if not, my flesh will rise. You if his love is produced in me, then that final part in that verse that Paul shares with us, that all discernment and knowledge that we need to understand how to handle life situations will be there for us. We will be able to handle people, difficult situations, each moment of the day, because we're surrendered to Him and desiring for Him, and He will move in our lives. So let us this week, let God show us individually, how is it for each one of us, how God wants to overflow in your life. And as He overflows and He brings new people into your path to show and to use you to show His love and His character to other people, how does He want to do that for you this week? It's going to be life transformation. It's going to be life transforming. The more, and this, the beautiful part about, I love about this message, is that it's not just for the new believer, it's for the believer who's been with Him for 50 years. How, Lord, do you want to change me more? How am I hindering you from overflowing? Let God show you that this week and see what God does. Lord, I thank you so much that you have given us your Spirit, that we can live out your character in our lives because you're living it through us. You're helping me, transforming me and my character to be more like you. Lord, I pray that for our church. As we spend time with you, Lord, I ask that we hear your voice as you speak to us, because, Lord, I know that if we go to you, you will be there. Lord, I pray that we go with humbleness. I pray that we go with brokenness. I pray, Lord, that we go with a need to need you more today than we needed you an hour ago. Lord, I thank you so much that you are so great and so loving and so compassionate, and nothing that I can do can keep me away and separated from you, because your love extends and bounds over any my biggest mistakes. Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.